responsibility. If you break the word into its part, it says response and ability. Every one of us in this sanctuary has an ability. Every one of us has a response to our ability. Today, the table is set. We gather as a community and we are moved by the divine mystery that God has invited us to participate and set at the same table. There are a variety of settings. Some are more formal, some are less formal. But in this season of reflection, when we invite someone to sit to our table, we are saying to them, "You are my brother and my sister." Now, we are not necessarily saying, "In whom I am well pleased." You see, that's the catch part. That's the rub part. To have someone to sit with me at my table with whom they are not well pleased with me is a gift of grace. And today that gift of grace is offered to each one of us as talents as we have, as abilities we have, as significant or insignificant they may be. And out of this very significant piece of scripture, Paul is writing to us in the 12th chapter and saying, you see yourself as the body of God's believers in Christ, but yet you want to separate yourself from one another. Isn't that astounding how we tend to do that? And we say, this is a record for here, this is a file here. And then even as we get pleasure in setting, we move from place to place. We have a head table. We have a big table. We have the king's table. We have the servant's table. We have the picnic table. We have a table where we just simply spread the blanket on the ground, but we are sitting together and feasting, recognizing each one's various abilities. Several years ago, when my daughter Tiff celebrated marriage, one of the things that she was very conscious of not doing was not to have, and this isn't right or wrong, good or bad, it's just her thinking, but her thinking was, I don't want a, quote, head table. And the concern for parties and families is, well, they'll know who I am. I'm the one with the white dress on, you know. It's not going to be hard, you know. And her attitude was simply this, that every person who gathers on this occasion is here, and I must, and I desire, and I humbly want to say thank you, because they bring a variety of ability and grace to the celebration of the family that is gathered here for this occasion. And I find that quite significant. I find sometimes that rather than elevating people, we need to be humbled. Yes, there are times to be celebrated, but sometimes we think because we come to Christ, we want to argue over who's going to sit on the left, who's going to sit on the right, who's going to sit at the top of the kingdom. And then we have this marvelous, marvelous reflection of responsibility. And Paul is saying, we all, as Christians, have a unique and wonderful, significant role to play in doing the work of the kingdom of God. And yet we look in the mirror and we go and we discover oftentimes people are critical of us and telling us what abilities we don't have instead of recognizing the graces and the abilities that we do have. Reminding ourselves that every single one of us has a wonderful and very excited ability. And thus when you recognize that, it's sort of easy to sit to the table. Let us gather in this house and sit at this table, and humility affirm the gifts and the graces that are in the others. You see, sometimes the emphasis is perhaps not there. Perhaps the emphasis is when we do the Eucharist and communion, the Lord's Supper, whatever you describe it out of your tradition, you say to one another, I am not worthy. Well, that's pretty much the case. And none of us are worthy. But yet when we think about it, there is the family that sits around and idealistically we have in this paternal situation a mother, a father, and the siblings that follow, and then the aunts and the families that gather around. We call them homecomings or home gatherings, but every time we gather as the body of Christ in this sanctuary that's set apart for the express purpose of worshiping God, we become one in Christ. And we come to celebrate and affirm each person's ability. Now, The burden here is how do we hold each other accountable? That's one of the wonderful things in Methodism and what John Wesley and he was concerned about, because the church at that time had sort of lost the sense of accountability and responsibility of amongst one another. Because, you know, who's the most important? Who's the least important? That wasn't the concern. The concern is that we help each other recognize their gifts and graces. And gifts and graces can be as simple as are described in this wonderful, marvelous piece of reflection. For it says in the sixth chapter, in the sixth verse of the 12th chapter, God has given each of us the what? The word is the ability to do certain things. And then in the bottom of that, the next word, he says, certain things how? Well. In my childhood, I remember one thing my mother taught me very clearly, and my father, was whatever you do, do it well. Whether it be raking the yard, whether it be hoeing in the garden, whether it be your schoolwork, do it well. Well, you know, we used to kind of catch up on that. I'd come back with a spelling test, and we didn't make 90, we didn't make 100. The only way to get ice cream, you've heard me say this before, at Hope Mills back in 1953, 4, 5, and 6, because we couldn't buy ice cream at home, was to make 100 on a spelling test. If you make 100 on a spelling test, you got a scoop of ice cream. Wasn't that wonderful? You know how easy it were to bribe. I made a few hundreds. Pretty good motivation, because I love ice cream. I'm not too keen on spelling, but I'll work for ice cream. And so, you know, mother would say, you know, whatever you're doing, do it well. And she wasn't concerned about doing it all. She was concerned about doing what you can and do it well. It's marvelous how that begins to take on a concept about the way we are. And I think that's perhaps what Paul is saying. If we're going to live for God, and we all are, whether we know it or not, some will conscious, do a good job of it. And don't let it become something laborious, but let it be something that comes out of you, out of your own innateness. And if you're a shoe shine, do a good job shoe shine. If you're carrying the garbage well. And we know when we do things well. Because we have to do it what? Not to get our accolades and our affirmation from those around us at the head table, but we have to do it for ourselves. And you know when you have done something well. You know when you have done what you are capable and have the ability to do, and we don't need somebody coming along and comparing us to Johnny and George and Susan and Mary and say, why can't you be like this? No, just be who you are. That's exactly what Paul, I think, is saying to us. And the beautiful thing is, God enables us to be who we are. I don't want to be anything else. I don't want to be Mickey Mouse or Roy Rogers. I don't want to be a football hero or the first man to whatever next spaceship there is, or the first man to talk to. I want to be me. And the day came in my life when I decided it's okay to be me, and I had to do some confessing, because the world had me confused like it does many of us. I was trying to be everything that I didn't want to be. I didn't understand. I can't be my brother. I can't be my sister. I remember as a child, my sister Rebecca, she would bring notes home, and she had them, you know, and the teachers would report that Neil was not doing well, and then the teacher would say, why can't you be as good as your sister Rebecca? But you know, all of that was just an annoyance to me. I wanted to be me. And so you then somebody come along and discovered, hey, you know, I know who you are. And that somebody was when the Lord Jesus Christ laid his upon my heart, and I realized, you know, I'm okay. And I realized that God didn't make no junk, and that it's now up to me to maximize the things and the gifts and the graces that I have. And I recognize some of those as I move through my journey, and you have yours. But one of the beautiful things is there are people who have helped me to bring out those abilities and graces that are in us. And that's what the congregation is about. When we gather together to pool our resources and become a collective community for the sole purpose of praising God, we become responsive to the abilities that each one of us have. We become responsive to our own innate and personal abilities, and we become willing to work at it. Well, you know, I'm not a real good speller because I'm not good at phonics. I wasn't taught phonics. I wasn't taught to hear and to write. So I have to spell from memory. And that ain't a good way to spell. You have to do that most often, but it's just the way I was taught. And then if your memory's not real good, you become what? A very poor speller. So that's an excuse for not working at it harder. And I'm terrible about remembering names. And my family says, it's because, Daddy, you don't focus on it. Alice said, Neil, you're not listening to it. And you're not, and they're right. I'm raised at that point. And I use other techniques to kind of remember certain things. But you see, God has given us that call upon our life to maximize those gifts and graces that are in us. So my question to us today as we come later and sit around the table is, how can we affirm and bless each other in their journey in God's kingdom? It isn't to stand here and say, I want to be a Matthew or a Paul or a John or a Peter. I want to be Neil Smith. I want to be God's man, God's woman, God's person as I am. But I want to be all I can for God. Not for the accolades or the rewards it's going to give me. Not because somebody's going to give me ice cream or a bigger house or a bigger car or a bigger position or more authority. But because I want to do it. Because I'm responsive to the abilities that God has given inside of me. And I think that's some of what's echoed in this wonderful piece of a writing. So it says, if God has given you the ability, and the abilities are listed. Now, because they're in this order, it doesn't mean that they're the most important, you see. He is, you know, the greatest of these is the least of these. I happen to believe that. It's not very hard for me to recognize folks that are sort of forgotten. We use the language now, people who have learning challenges or disabilities. The point is, we all have learning challenges and disabilities. It's just a matter of what level. You know, some of us can jump up and dunk a basketball. I can't. But that doesn't mean I can't play basketball either. You see, I hear us arguing and debating and comparing ourselves one to another instead of celebrating the gifts and the graces that God has given to each one of us. It's sort of what the call is upon our life. And you say, well, how can I celebrate somebody over here who gets all the breaks and gets all the blessings and has all the financial wealth? Well, the way you can do that, and the only way you can do that, is through the grace of God that's offered to us in Christ Jesus, because that's what Christ did. How can I still celebrate God's grace and love when my son dies or when I don't have children in my family? How can I still celebrate God because of the grace that God has put in your life through Christ Jesus? And that itself is miraculous. How can I celebrate the day when it's come and thunder has fell on my birthday party and the car is not running and everything's going bad and I've got debts? I didn't expect it because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And having that reality, we can sit together at the table of life and rejoice in the oneness that's offered to us through the blood of Christ. For at that one moment when the blood was shed for us, our sins were forgiven. The sins of pride and arrogance. The sin of laziness and despondency. And he says that for us as it's laid out for us. Yes, we have a variety of gifts. He speaks to some of these gifts, certainly not all of them. Prophets and teachers. Those who can be accountants and handle funds. Those who have the gift to encourage others. You know, and some of us are more keen at those who can take their responsibility serious. And he says, and if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, then do it gladly. And you can all name your own gift. So my question to us today is, what is our gift? Our gift is to open our hearts and allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to look at us and say, you know, let's not have that pity party, woe is me, deep, dark depression, excessive. Let's get on with it and let's celebrate the day. A lot of people get up and say, oh, Lord, it's a cloudy day. Where's the sun? Well, I promise you, the day you get up and the sun's not above those clouds, that's your last day. Because the sun is always up. God is always present in the rain, in the thunder, in the thunder, in the injustice. God is present. Well, if God is a loving God, why? And I didn't say God was unjust. I said circumstances are unjust. It's that way. You know, sometimes you forget. Sometimes, you know, you're not able to do in your own heart what you want to do. But God is present. Don't just pretend, it says, that you love others. There's this catch word. Can you celebrate another's birthday with them? It's so wonderful when you come up and it's glorious, you know. To celebrate a birthday, you hold that in common. Because we share grace with one another. Can you really love them, he says? Can you hate what is wrong and stand on the side of the good? Can you love each other with genuine affection? You know that shallow love where, dear darling, I'll come see you if I have the time. This morning, as I was leaving Kane Hospital, I had a man who's been in my bed for 2 years. He was promised by his family they'd come get him today. Well, though, I see that's the officer in charge. He said, Chaplain, can you make a call for this fellow? And I said, yeah, let's do whatever needs to be done. I'm kind of got to move on, though. I ain't got a lot of time. I got some things in place that need to be. He said, well, he's told us, and he's been promised that his family's going to come pick him up today. I could have brought him back to his community today because he's here in Cumberland County, but I couldn't because of policy, obviously. My point is, sometimes families say, well, I love you. I'll be there. I'll do this. But you know, don't say it if you don't mean it. But when you act it out, that's what you mean. When you decide to give your brother a lift by the side of the road without looking around to tell everybody what to do, it's from your heart. We don't need to go around telling everybody how much I love Jesus. It shows. Because when you love Jesus, you love everyone. When you really love Jesus, you sit down to the table and you don't look at each other for the difference that are there. You just say, I'm so glad we can sit at the table together and commune with one another, to be at peace with one another. And you know, how can we do that? Because there is so much animosity and there's so much pain between us. There's so much hurt. There's so much deception. Basically, there's just so much sin. You see, the family table that I sat down to as a child and I sat down to now as an adult, there happens to be a more sin than necessary around my family immediate table, but it's there. But you know, because the sin's there, we don't tell them to stay outside. Don't come back in this house ever again. When the table is set, you're welcome. But we agree. While we're gathered around that table. And what allows that to happen? The love of Jesus Christ. It's not just. It's not fair. You know, people want to sit down and argue. Well, you know, they got mama's diamond ring, and they got daddy's Bible, and they got daddy's cane to walk with, and they got this and got that. It don't take long to see how soon you can be divided. But that's not it when we sit in God's house. We're not here to decide who has the greatest talents, nor who has the least. We're here to celebrate each one's talent. And that's an important treasure. For the scripture says through Paul, be glad, for all God is planning for us. Be patient in trouble. And always be what? Prayerful. When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests to sit where? At your dinner table. Isn't that amazing? We kind of forgot that tradition, haven't we? Homecomings. Communion. One of the weakest things, and you ought to pray about this as a chaplain, United Methodist to the Department of Corrections, the thing I do the poorest job of in the prison system is offering the communion table. In fact, guys, this is why I had two guys say to me, chaplain, when are you going to do communion again? You know how I felt? Just about that big. Because I knew where I was coming today. Today is all I can do. And these guys said to me, and yeah, I let them down. But they didn't let me down because they reminded me. And I said, soon. You see, to gather around the table is a powerful symbol. Because all around this table are gathered all of God's children. Today they gather in Southeast Asia. They gather in Scandinavia. They gather in South Africa, in Chile, in Antarctica, in Alaska, at one table. Isn't that wonderful? Think about it. Not because one is better or greater or more significant than the other, but because there is the one, Jesus the Christ, who has called us to hear the voice of a gracious God. Well, if people persecute you because you're a Christian, he says, don't curse them. He says, pray for the God to bless them. When others are happy, be happy with them. That's a biggie. If they are sad, share their sorrow. Live in harmony. How? With each other. That's the tough part. Oh, I can be at harmony when I'm by myself. You know, my favorite place to be in harmony is in the woods. Some of you that know me know that. I can walk in the woods. I can get on a horse and ride in the woods. And I've heard a bunch of geese with myself. But can you be in harmony with all the people that are running this man's highway and trying to run out in their vehicles and tooting their horn and trying to toot your head? Can you?
Yeah.
Or you need to get hung, you know, or toot your horn out. Can you be in harmony with those who have embraced you in the fellowship of Christ in this community? You can, sure you can. But that's what Paul says. Be in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important. It ain't going to work. But enjoy the company of ordinary people. You know, there's an old saying in our community, you know, he puts his pants on the same way I do. Who does he think he is? You know what you're saying? He's too big for his britches. You heard that saying. Sometimes we're guilty of saying that ourselves about a lot of things. But today we're called to be one in Christ. It's what I love so much about this Chancellor area. If you come in here, where's the focus? And no disrespect for that, but it's not all the words spoken right here. When I get out of the way, what y'all see? It's very clear. The cross. Powerful. It's not about you or you or you or me or her. It's about God. The most important from now to eternity is God. And Paul says, are you listening? This is what I'm telling you. This is why I wrote this. And then in the 19th verse he says, dear friends, never avenge yourself. Kind of, I told you so. Yeah, that feels good. Come on. Anybody want to be honest about it? It can feel mighty good, but only for a while. Particularly when the car breaks down and the wife says, I told you you had this noise last week, and then I called her to come pick me up. I told you so. I said, Allison's coming, make me feel good. She's not bad at that. We work on that one, you know, and we laugh about it. I told you so. Leave that to God. For it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Instead, do what the Scripture says. And this is what is important for us today. If your enemies are hungry, what are you supposed to do? Feed them. If he's thirsty, what are you supposed to do? Give him a drink. Now be careful with that language. That bothers some of my guys in prison. They think you're talking about white liquor. You give him life-giving water, and they will be ashamed of what they have done to you. You know, ashamed there doesn't mean they're destroyed or humiliated. It means that you have come back far enough to where you have visited your conscience.
You know, we're living in a world that's losing its conscience. When you love, I don't know, it's atmosphere. And it's amazing to me how far back people can just go away from themselves. And it didn't take much. You know, my one thing that didn't shame me when I was a kid over here coming back to church about 8 or 9 or 10 years old, all my mother had to do when we were sitting there fidgeting around and playing games in camp, I can tell you the exact number of times I said to come, you know, I'm coming back to church, but I can't know about it. So you go this way, particularly when I learned how to do multiplication, it got a bit easy then. Yeah, I've always been good at that. I reckon it's because I was good at my making a good church. But she could hear back there cutting up a little bit. She didn't have to get up shaming and break the hand. All she had to do was go, man, you crawl out of that thing. I mean, literally.
That's all it took. But today, man, it's amazing. If you're thirsty, give them a good drink. Hungry, some good deed, and we will find our place. And last, don't let evil get the best of you. Evidently, Paul knew something about that, didn't he?
I do.
You know, you'll feel like a winner for a while. You might feel like a winner for a lifetime, but in the end, you'll be a loser. Don't let evil get a hold of you. Do what you're convicted of. And have the audacity when you participate in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine to realize that others just like you have wrestled with these same questions. And we say, Lord, I know I'm unworthy, but I pray God that you will convict me and guide me that I may be a vessel in your kingdom. Shall we pray? Holy God, we're so thankful. We're thankful that the Holy Spirit will visit us everywhere we go. We're thankful that the tradition of the body of Christ, the Christian community, is to gather, to sit at the table, and to rejoice in the great Thanksgiving. Prepare our hearts, O Lord, this day. Amen and amen.